All right, when we set this brachas, we are in Lamed Hey Amud Aleph. We cruise down to the two dots toward the bottom. Yeah. The key line, which we left off with, the Gemara said right before the two dots, as we were trying to find some source, perhaps from Sukkim, maybe even establishing that the obligation of making brachos before we eat is a din teraisa, which we end up not being able to conclude with, but rather the Gemara concluded that svarahu, it's logical, the asul adam shehenim in olam hazeh b'lo bracha, that a person cannot derive benefit from this world without making a bracha first. And based on that concept, if we look in Rashi, at least the second half of this lengthy Rashi, where it begins with bar netiyah menolan, then Rashi says about five lines from the bottom, el svarhu de kivan de nehena. Once you're going to derive some form of hana'ah in this world, sarach lehodos l'mishabara, it's necessary to thank Hashem who created that thing. Therefore, it's through that logic that since the world is Hashem's, Hashem gives us certain things, it's only appropriate and proper to acknowledge and to thank Hashem for. That's how Rashi explains it. Now, it's brought down among some of the Sfarim, in Hilchos Brachos Halach, it says, how come when it comes to eating afterwards, we say that there's a specific shiur? If you're not satiated, then you don't bench. But when it comes to a bracha before, we say even the smallest amount, you have to. So the one answer is based on this Gemara, that it's usher to get any hanaf from this world without a bracha. So therefore, even the smallest amount of food that you have, you automatically have to say a bracha. But right, when it comes to benching, then there's an inyan of being sobeya, right. That's the logical interpretation brought in the Chuvah's Beis Ephraim, based on this line of Gemara.
What's the big deal about making bracha? Thank you, Hashem, you gave me a nice meal. Thank you, this. What is the havdil, almost like the guy do,
Right.
It's between you and God, it's not between anybody else. What is the difference? Why is it format? It's the Rabbanu. Thank you, Hashem, you gave me this meal, that maybe I had another Shabbos, that kind of stuff. What would be the big deal if you did that?
You're right. Really?
Since it's not a doraisa.
So the difference applies when it comes to a suffix, for example. We need to be able to establish the level of where brachos fall so that we need to know in specific situations what to do. Did I make a bracha? Did I make a bracha on this cup of coffee? I don't remember. Suffix brachos l'hakil. Since we're dealing with the derabanan over here, so therefore you don't say the bracha because there's also the concern of saying Hashem's name.
Right,
for no reason. So we have to establish it. We also have to establish why we would think it's necessary. Is it based on a pasuk, and maybe the pasuk we can glean other things from it, or is it just as we said svara? Now another interesting explanation as to distinguish it is that when it comes to the bracha before, so he says like this, that when the chachamim were strict because let's say there's a specific shir. Right? In order to make a shahakol, or in Lama Hanulah, I have to drink this entire cup of coffee, which of course is not true. But if that would be the case, I say, you know what? I'm not going to drink this whole cup of coffee, so I'm only going to take I'm going to drink half a cup. And then after a while, you'll turn around and your cup's empty. So because of that, this is one other svara, that because when we're dealing with the bracha before, it's possible that you may end up having more than you initially anticipated, right? And therefore, retroactively, you should have made a bracha.
Right? If you made a bracha, you have a cup of coffee.
That's
right?
Explains
you're not here in the shul. You walk in the street, you're
right.
Dropping. So that's that. You made a bracha, you hardly drank any of it. So
the bracha before is not an issue because the Gemara says you have to make a bracha to get when you derive any hana from this world.
But you didn't have any more disgusted than you didn't have hana, so you're more upset that you dropped a cup of coffee. On the floor.
You may be not upset at the coffee. Maybe you should be upset at yourself.
But
sometimes
you're walking the cities, I'm going to go upset at you, which is a little too common.
Yes.
So you're a little disgusted, with yourself, with the city, you went to Starbucks, but 3,000 cup of coffee, now it's on the floor. Why are you making a bracha? I didn't have enough.
If you didn't drink any of it, then you didn't make a bracha. But if you already took a sip out of it,
yeah,
made a bracha, and then you knocked it down, so then you can yell at the guy. So,
if,
unless Stephen, you're saying the case, you made the bracha, and right before you this, and boom. Okay, so it's an oinus rachmana patra. I mean, it's something which is beyond your control, and there would be an Indian maybe to say brach shem kavod makasavon boen because you said a bracha. If you didn't, if you didn't, correct. But if you did, so you, as long as you had a little bit, then that's okay. So the small shiur when it comes to a bracha is necessary. And again, the simple explanation is based on the Gemara that we concluded with last week, is because any amount you're going to get hanaf from. Or potentially, I mean, the food also may not taste that good, right? Depends who's cooking it, right? Yeah. But still some element of hanaf, whether it's taste
let's
or
say you bite into something
being satiated. If there's a chash, you should look at it and inspect the food to make sure it's something which is edible. I mean, for health reasons, all
what about
to itself.
Make something better. What do you do with the medicine? You take a liquid cough syrup. It doesn't taste good. Well, yet you're having a lot of hanaf from it. You make a bracha on it, you know.
That's what generally when it comes to medication, we don't make a bracha.
Look at all the hanaf.
So that's the question. What does hana mean? Does hana really mean... Right. If I take an antibiotic, I'm also getting hana.
No, you're not.
Right?
I said.
But the idea... Hana, apparently... You have to translate, what does the word hana mean? It doesn't necessarily mean any benefit.
To your taste, or is it something that really cures you? You should make a five bracha.
It's a good... I'm saying you'd think you'd make a bigger bracha on a medication. But we know we don't. Right. So therefore... We don't, certainly not on pills and this, you know. Shilas when it comes to certain fruity things that are highly diluted.
Question,
but even that we don't do. We make a shakol. The only time you don't make a shakol is if it's for taking medicine. But if it's for thirst quenching, then
no,
you do. But there's no taste.
You take a pill, you have to drink water to make a shakol on the water.
You don't have to, no. But if you have a tall glass and you say, you know what, I'm thirsty anyway, so then you make a shot call. But just stop to
drink a lot of water, you know.
Like in the, some people keep their some medication in the bathroom, so you wake up in the morning, you take this, you put in your cup, and you drink it. It's not a problem. That's different, right? Because there's an element of hana. Water has no taste. So the only time you get hana is if it's something which will benefit you and that it quenches your thirst. So it doesn't. Well, when you're pretty thirsty and you need some water, you're getting hana.
But if you're not so thirsty, you drink water, you don't make a bracha.
The question is, what's not so thirsty? Why are you drinking it then? There's a reason why you're drinking it. Okay, well, so, but it's a good question. The word hana is a very good question. How to translate it? Hana clearly does not mean that I will derive any form of physical benefit from it in the long term, because then medication would make a bracha on too, which we don't. So hana obviously has some element to maybe some taste or some immediate gratification that you could acknowledge the benefits of it right away. It's something worthwhile thinking about how to define what that sentence means. But let's continue with the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. Four or five lines on the bottom. It is forbidden for a person to derive benefit from this world without first making a bracha. And apparently that's not limited just to food, but that's what we're talking about. And any person that does eat food, does drink, and they do not make a bracha before they derive benefit, ma'al. They get the punishment, or as one would potentially, of me'ila. Me'ila, as Rashi says, the third line from the bottom, kinehenna min ha-hektish. If you have hektish, you're not allowed to use it for your own purposes. It belongs to Hashem. It belongs to the Mizbeach. It belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. Who am I to take something which belongs to the Beis HaMikdash? If a person does take something which belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, then they have violated me'ila. In that situation, obviously here you don't get the same punishments in which there's Karen Chemish and Karm Ila. You have to bring a principal and a fifth, an additional fifth, and you have to bring an offering. But it's the same concept, because as Rashi says, the chsiv, and this some people actually put on every page the initials, the acronym, the Rashi tables of these next three sentences, Lashem Ha'aretz Muloah. We'll see later on exactly how to decipher that pasuk, which contradicts another sentence, which is famous. But it says that the world's gods, Hashem Ha'aretz Muloah, to God, he's completely owns and has is completely within this world. So therefore, how could I go and take something which belongs to God? It's hektish. I have no right to do it. And therefore, for some apparently, the bracha removes it from Hashem's rishus and allows you to now take ownership and benefit from it. Right. Until then, it belongs to God. The bracha, apparently, which is a recognition that in fact did belong to God, that's all Hashem wants. And once we recognize, yeah, this does belong to Hashem, so Hashem says, okay, I'm glad now you acknowledge the source, so now you can eat it. Matakante. So what can you do to remedy this mistake? You can't bring a carbon. So how do you learn from this? You should go to a chacham. So what is a chacham going to do? It's a chacham. What's he going to teach you? You sinned. Well, what's he going to do? Well, you know, he's going to give you malka. So what's a chacham going to do at this point? Rava says, this is what we mean. Come on, it means this. That you should go to a chacham initially, which could also mean you should get a book on brachos, you should learn about brachos, however you can learn about them, and learn them, so you don't come to the prohibition of me'ilah. And we find like there's stories of some of the greatest Amoroyim, Rabbi Akiva, I think is a story, that he wasn't a baki in brachos, right? I think it was Rabbi Akiva, and he wanted to learn. He was so sincere. So one of his rebbe used to teach him like a little bit each day, and he saw that he was weary, and he said, "I couldn't eat because I didn't know what bracha to make." Obviously, we're not on that madrega, and that doesn't mean you're supposed to put yourself in a life-threatening situation. But the reality is that if you're not sure. So just eat? No, ask. If you're not sure, you ask. And therefore, by doing so, you'll be able to educate yourself and become more familiar with Hilchos Brachos. And that's what's being said here. It's not an excuse. Ignorance is not an excuse. If you don't know the bracha, you have to learn the bracha. Don't just eat the food. Ask. Of course, nowadays it's easier than ever. Amar Bihuda Mer Shmuel. Rabbi Huda says in the name of Shmuel the following expression, following thought. Similar concept. It's as though you're deriving benefit from Kachi Shemayim, something which belongs to Hashem. Shenemar, as it says, Hashem Ha'aretz Muloah. That's obviously how Rashi got it from our Gemara. Now we have a very clean stira. Rav Levi Rami. Rami means a contradiction, or the contradiction in Psukim. There's a stira in the Psukim. Siv, on one hand, it's written, Lashem Ha'aretz Muloah, that everything belongs to God, which seemingly means it always belongs to Hashem. Everything belongs to Hashem. The Siv, but we know the famous pasuk we say all the time in Halacha, Shemayim, Shemayim, Hashem, Ha'aretz L'Sanim Ne'adam. The Aretz is given to man. So how could it say, Lashem Ha'aretz? Well, the land belongs to God. It says, Shemayim, 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 Ha'aretz, there's nothing in the Adam. So anything grows on this world, anything which is found, just like anything found in my house, belongs to me. So anything which is found in our land belongs to Bnei Adam. So how can we say it belongs to Hashem? So the Gemara says the following famous answer, Lokasha, Kan Koidim Bracha, and Kan, on Omid Beis, L'Acher Bracha. That's what changes. Before we make a bracha, it's God's. But once we make a bracha, we no longer apply Hashem Ha'aretz Muloah. God allows us to be able to take possession of it. Apparently, it's for a different reason. This is for the Indian of Gezel. The bracha achrona is another form of recognition. The truth is, you don't even have to come onto a svara. The pasuk says you have to do it. There's different reasons. There's a significant difference between making a bracha before and making a bracha afterwards. as we often explain, which is actually the opposite of the Jewish philosophy. We make a bracha, it's more mistaber to make a bracha when we're full. The Torah says to make a bracha when you're full. We don't have any Torah obligation to make a bracha when we're hungry. Because, and the way the Maharsha Shiva explains it, said many times, is that when you're hungry, it's for Shteitzach you're going to make a bracha, because you're lacking, so you sense that you're missing. When a person is lacking and missing, all of a sudden they turn to God. You find people are incarcerated, all of a sudden they go to Daf Yomi, whatever they're, or all of a sudden they recognize their own religion. When a person is lacking, you sense that lack, and you need to turn to something to fill that void. Once you have everything, it's like, I'm okay. You know, I don't need God. I'm all right. So therefore, the Torah says specifically, when you are full, that is the time when you need to recognize Hashem. When things are going well, that's the chiddush. That's the time Hashem wants you to recognize Him. Not just when things are not going well. When things are going well, that's the time also. But nonetheless, it is a pasuk. Here, this is based on Svara. So Hashem said it belongs to God. As soon as you make a bracha, it now transfers the ownership, so to speak, onto you. This is obviously just translating the word, but there's a lot more to understand than just that. And Tosfos tells us a little bit more over here on the top. Doesn't give us too much more of an insight, but just explains it in another light. V'chein perikol kisvi, it says in Mesechta Shabbos, that Amrin kishahayim menichin ha-shulchan, when it comes to putting foods onto your table, so when the food is on the table, beginning of the meal, apparently means before you make a bracha, all the food, everything that you have is God's. However, once the table has been already set, finished, and you're leaving the table, because you've made a bracha. It's the same thing. So the same idea, it's just a different way of phrasing it. But the concept of making a bracha is just acknowledging that God is in fact in control of everything. And by acknowledging that Hashem's in control of everything, Hashem says, okay, just say a few words, and then by doing that, now you can enjoy this world. But if a person doesn't, then you're missing the whole point that Hashem is in fact in complete control over this entire world. Which is the same inyan of Bikurim. By Bikurim, we take the first fruit, we bring it through Yerushalayim, the seven minim of which Israel is blessed with, and we give a small amount. That's it. Once you do that, you can partake of everything else. That's when it comes to all these other things. Hashem just wants a hakara. Recognize the source, and then you can enjoy everything else. Omar Chanina Bar Papa continuing on Omid Beis. Rav Chanina Bar Papa says, Kol hanehenim en olam hazeh b'lo bracha, and we're going to have to focus on these next two words after we get to the two dots a little bit better. Kilu goizel. It's you're not a gazlan, but it's keilu goizel. You're like a gazlan. Kodesh Baruch Hu Knesset Yisrael. We know that there's a distinction between geneva and gazela. Geneva, this person sneaks in your house in private, quietly. When it comes to gazela, it's by gunpoint. You rip it out of someone's hands. So that's what a gazlan is. So when a person takes food from and not making a bracha, it's like you're a gazlan. You're doing it in a public way. Stealing from God and from Knesset Yisrael. Why Knesset Yisrael? So we have a pasuk. Shnemar, it says in Mishlei, Goizel abe v'imo, v'oimer ein pesha, chaver hu l'ish mashchis. So a person is not advisable, stealing, and stealing from one's parents, and v'oimer, to say, ein pesha, that I didn't, there's no sin. Person who not only steals and does the wrong thing, but to say, I didn't do anything wrong, that person is friends to the person of destruction. It's one thing to do the wrong thing, but not to be able to acknowledge that you're even doing anything wrong. Sometimes you see this with kids. You catch them red-handed, you made a mistake, and yet they are like, oh, I didn't do it. Like, what do you mean you didn't do it? You did it. It's right. I saw you do it. No. So that's another madrig onto itself. So that's a chaver l'ish mashchis. That's a destructive behavior. Not even being willing to acknowledge when you make a mistake. Vein aved al kodesh baruch hu. So in this pasuk, what does it mean, father? Who did we steal from? So through a pidrash, you can learn that father is referring to Hashem. We know that Hashem is comparable to a father. Avinu, Malkeinu. Many places Hashem is our father. Shnemar, halohu avicha kanecha. Is it not that you, Hashem, are our Father, the one who has formed us and created us? Ve'en imo elokenes Yisrael shenemar shema b'ni musar avicha yaltitesh toras imecha. That it says that you should listen to the musar of your father. This pasuk in itself is used in great length in a lot of drushes to show the difference between the roles of a father and a mother in a child's relationship with their child. That's the b'ni, the musar is avicha, to be able to educate and keep the child straight. Yaltitesh toras imecha, as the Rebbe used to say, that he learned his Torah from his mother, from his the practices of his mother. Yaltitesh, do not leave the Torah of your mother. So toras imecha here is being translated as Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people. My chaver hu ish mashchus, what does it mean that we are friends to this person who did not make a bracha, is a friend to the ish mashchus, to this man of destruction? So I'm a finit bar papa, chaver hu Yerovam ben Nevat. He's a friend to Yerovam ben Nevat, as is mentioned in the 11th parak, begins the 11th parak in Shmuel, in Malachim Aleph, she hishchis es Yisrael avim shebashamayim, that he's destroyed Yisrael and his relationship to Avim Shebashamayim. Some say Yerovam comes to the word Riv, a man of quarreling who has caused controversy between Hashem and the Jewish people, that he caused a lot of problems for the Jewish people. What did he do? Rashi doesn't really tell us too much, but if you look, skipping, we'll see the top Rashis in a moment. The fourth line, Yerovam Nevat, Shehechte Vehechti. Not only did he sin, but he caused others to sin. And when it came to after Shlomo HaMelech lost his position of power after he had died, his son Rechavam took over two of the tribes, namely that of Binyamin and Yehuda, and Yerovam and Nevat took over the other ten. There was a split in the Malchus, and Yerovam, who was from Ephraim, did not belong really to be a Melech. Really, it should only come from the descendant of David. And therefore, anyone who came from Malchus based David, as it's brought down, would be able to sit down in the Beis HaMikdash during certain services, including Hakel. The king was allowed to sit down while they were reading the Torah, and someone who was not from Malchus Beis David was not allowed to. So Yerovam did not want people to go to Yerushalayim because he would have to go to accompany and escort them, and then he would not be able to sit down. And Rechavam, his adversary, if you will, because he ruled two of the tribes, would sit down. It would actually be an insult. So what Yerovam ben Nevat did was he created Avodah Zarah all over the place. He said, there's no need to worship God in the Beis HaMikdash, just worship these idols where you are. And therefore, he caused people to sin. He sinned, and he caused others to sin. And interesting, the whole mistake of Yerovam ben Nevat of Avodah Zarah was because of pride. It had nothing to do with him actually wanting to worship idols, but he didn't want anyone to acknowledge that he was not fit to be the king. So that was Yerovam ben Nevat. So such a person also doesn't make a bracha. If I don't make a bracha, I'm standing here, I don't make a bracha. So not only am I doing wrong to God, but I'm also doing wrong to my fellow man. Because I'm educating them that you don't need to make a bracha. If based on my actions, I'm able to show people what's right or what's wrong. Whether we like it or not, we are watched. And therefore, just like Yerovam ben Nevat, who worshipped idols, others worshipped idols. If you don't make a bracha, and people are watching your behavior, then they will also learn from that behavior. We look at Rashi's second line. In Pesha Lafi, Shumekel Royim Hachayim, this is basically what he says, Royim Hachayim, Belamdim Imenu Lasos came. That people, since you're lenient, people will see and they'll learn from you and they'll do the same thing. Lihanos min oilim below bracha, to derive benefit from this world without a bracha. Therefore, you are comparable to Yerovam ben Nevat, and that you're causing other people to sin. Even though, I mean, it's my mistake, it's my sin, it's between me and God, as it says, Stephen. The reality is that what I do will have ramifications on other people's lives. We make impact on other people's lives. As much as we want to believe, leave me alone, everything's fine. No, it doesn't work like that. What we do does make a difference. And therefore, not only that, when you make a bracha, you should make a bracha, especially in the presence of children, which I am throughout the day, you make a bracha, you make a conscious effort to make a bracha out loud with kavana, so that they learn that that's the proper thing to do, as opposed to just saying it so quickly you don't even know what you said. I want to discuss for this next 5 minutes, and we'll stop, the question about gezeila. It says that, in fact, the person who will make not make a bracha, it's like you're ki'ilu nigzol, it's like you stole. So it's interesting, Shiloh that's asked over here, if we just see that which is underlined, we'll be able to finish in a few minutes. Ma'ashehovas Parshas B'Shalach, it says in Parshas B'Shalach, B'Shem, B'nei Soskar, he asked the question the following. He asked, Eza bracha baruch Yisrael min al haman? When it came to the man, what bracha did the Klal Yisrael make? So that was a question. They obviously, they derived hana from eating the man, so what bracha did they make? That's a shayla the B'nei Soskar asks over there. He said, the below bracha havikigoy zomoyel, because otherwise they'd be like thieves. How could they eat man and they'd be a gazlan? The kashal is that you can ask another, a stronger question on this. The inkin ye have ben noyach mukhiyah bebirchas anahenen. Perhaps non-Jews should also need to make a bracha before they eat. Why? The al gezel ben noach mukhiyah misa de havizayin mitzvos. We know among the sheva mitzvos b'nei noach, they're not allowed to steal. So if in fact not making a bracha is like you've stolen, so they have to make a bracha. And let's go even further. The fact that we don't educate them, we know that if they do not adhere to the Zayin Mitzvot, they're chayv misa. It's a very serious offense. So v'gam ye'osu l'chambi l'nachar mitzav l'fnei iver, v'zeh lo matzinu b'shem makom. Apparently we have an issue of allowing any person to not make a bracha to respect them, because we're showing that what they're doing is correct behavior. But the truth is, they should be making brachos. How come a non-Jew does not need to make a bracha? If in fact we paskins ki'il goizel, obviously you have to find a b'nei noyach that's interested in these halachos, which by the way, when I was in Bangor, I mentioned this before, there was actually b'nei noyach that used to come to shul. Obviously they didn't know Hebrew or anything. They were not Jewish. They never wished to become Jewish. They wanted to adhere to, which is what we really want non-Jews to do, just adhere to the seven mitzvot. You don't have to convert. And you have to teach them these halachos. And there's obviously the question is, what would they do in this situation? They would want to know sincerely, do I make a bracha? So we don't require them to make a bracha, but apparently they should, because otherwise the Gemara says it's ki'il goizel. So how do we answer it? So there's four explanations we see over here. First of all, the Yesh Lomer, ki be'emes k'siv Adam Rishon, it's mentioned by Adam, hinei nasati lechem l'ochel, Hashem gave you grass and vegetation to eat. By Noach also it says, Koremes lechem yel ochla. Noach was given the permission to eat things. And it's brought down in the Medrash, Aretz noslan lebnei Adam, miblit sarach bracha. That we learn from that in the days of Adam and Noach, that they did not need to make a bracha. It wasn't necessary. And the Yalkut Nisro says, as well as elsewhere, ki kishenasan tayril Yisrael, nisbatel hagzera shel va'aretz noslan lebnei Adam. This gezeirah that Hashem allowed us to be able to automatically receive this food without making a bracha did not apply. In other words, in the days of Adam and Noach, when he learns it, one explanation is that he didn't need to make a bracha. Hashem gave it to them. Hashem gave Adam and Noach full reign, as though they already had ownership of the world. Once we were mekabel the Torah, then Hashem, on some level, gave us the Torah. Like Hashem gave us something from the heavens. And Hashem kind of took the land back, and we kind of have to bridge that gap. We have to take the Torah and learn from it, and we have to also we also have to reconnect ourselves to the land. So therefore, the first explanation is that really, they did not have to. So when it came to the man,
belonged to Noah and Hashem gave them the
right, exactly. But now not.
But after the Torah.
So after the Torah, we have to make a bracha. But it's only because we received the Torah. This is how he explains. But someone wasn't of the Jewish, is not Jewish, was not mekabel the Torah, still remains connected to B'nai Noach. So the Shemesh B'nai Noach, they don't have to make a bracha, because Hashem gave the B'nai Noach the rights to the land. That's one answer. Next paragraph. It's brought down, B'hoisa b'zeh ha'goyin bal pardesi. If he says, U'poshit yesh lomid ha'rak gezel b'gashmis ben noach m'chuyev lo b'shigoyzel me'akodesh baruch hu. There's an interesting stealing, begashmi, stealing someone's property, and stealing from Hashem. Okay, so therefore, it's not considered, that's what it means, ki'ilu goizel. You're not really a gazlan, because you're not physically stealing from someone else's property. The whole issue of Zayin Mitzvos B'nei Noach is only stealing from someone else's property. The third answer says like this, Tehineel HaGemara, it says, El Svarhu. We can begin saying, the reason why you make a bracha is logic. You have to make a bracha before to derive benefit from this world. Said Rashi over there, Svarahu, to give on the head of Sarach Lahodos, when me Shibarim. You have to acknowledge Hashem who created these things. Chomer. Simon Mechev's Bracha, Ein Mishum Iser Gezel O Me'ilah. The real source, the real reason why we established initially the requirement of making a Bracha is not because you're a thief otherwise. Those are Drushos. El Mishum Shisarach Lahodos Mishibarim. You have to acknowledge Hashem who created these things. That's the reason why you make a Bracha. Shul Acher Tekanes Chazal Yisrael Shisarach Varech. Once the Chazal instituted that the Jewish people have a requirement to make a bracha, once that bracha came about, which was established only because it's important to acknowledge God, so Mishul Mavarech, if you don't now listen to Chazal, it's like you're a thief. But it's not that it starts off that you're a thief. Chazal decided to institute it as a requirement because it's important to thank Hashem.
So what would be if I gave a whole lot?
Chazal tell us how we're supposed to be to praise Hashem with this specific nusach, with this language, this bracha. Are you considered to be a gazlan if you said Baruch Atah Melech Olam Shakoni Bedvaro? Probably not. But the Shema Malchus does connect to the way that we're supposed to be saying the bracha. So there is an element of hoda. It's a good shaila. The question is, by you not saying the bracha the way you're supposed to say it, is that a lack of hoda? You can certainly say it in any language, but to say it against, to abbreviate the bracha itself is an issue. You're not allowed to tamper with the brachos. It's a good question.
But then when I can do hoda once in the morning, for everything that's going to come about in the day,
right. Right, I hear that. I mean, we daven shach, we don't have to daven every second. So the question is, right, it's a good question. So let's conclude with the last potential answer. So the question is, so shouldn't they also acknowledge, shouldn't non-Jews also thank God? So the reality is, so he says, there's no obligation for them to daven. Non-Jews don't have to daven shachar, so maybe help out with minyanim in different communities. If non-Jews could come and partake in a minyan, but they're not obligated to daven, so they're not to daven. The reason, because when we find even when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash on his initial tefilos, he said, I want this to be a center location for non-Jews to be able to come and to bring offerings, which they're allowed to do, they were allowed to do, in order that they should also feel connected. Because once they feel connected, it's safe for us, and it's also important for them. The reality is, we are of less than 1% in population. Hashem does embrace non-Jews who would adhere to the mitzvos. We know that they get Olam Haba, which is one of the most unusual concepts of our religion, as you do not have to be Jewish to be considered to be righteous. And therefore, yes, Hashem does care about what everyone does in this